I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 5, Episode 6, the 2026 Castrol Brad Keselowski Ford Mustang with Greg Biffle font in the number 6, along with four other cars in the entry list, included Colleague Racing with AJ Allmendinger, which is a nice touch in the 16 car. Anyway, that's this week's. Isn't it amazing how I get the Bad Brad episode and Sean is on assignment this week?
Oh, hold on, Nate. Just to clarify, this car did race in the Clash this past week, right?
No. It did not.
Okay, you need to rephrase the car of choice for this week because it's got to be cars that have raced before. Not cars that will race. It's cars that have raced. Come on.
All right.
This is five seasons.
Great. I only have to change a little thing. Okay. That's fine.
All right, let's hear it.
The Southern 500 winning Castrol, Brad Keselowski, Ford Mustang.
Look at you.
Just a little bit of word transition.
It
still works.
It's a technicality.
And that paint scheme was a beauty because that was a throwback to the Toyota Supra and Super GT, which, for those Gran Turismo fans, if you know, you know. But that is a beautiful thing. Hey, you know, everyone has their thing. Forza. I just happened to grow up with Gran Turismo, and Gran Turismo 3 was my first one. I kind of went through PlayStation, the 3, 4, 5, you name it. And
just a PlayStation.
Beautiful scenes. Anyway, so we're finally here. It is my favorite racing week of the year. The Daytona 500 is, the great American race is finally here. And I'm super excited for it. And I'll tell you what. And the cars hit the track by the time this gets released today. But at the time of recording, tomorrow. So we're within 24 hours of cars being on track and hitting the high banks of Daytona. And it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful time. Because I'll tell you what, we'll have practice one. So there's going to be three practice sessions. Cars will be on the track. Track will be hot at 10 a.m. And then later in the day, they will be qualifying to set the front row and then to see who's going to be lining up for the dual one, dual two. And that'll take place on Thursday. And Thursday, there is some action with other racing series as well. The Arca Menards series hits the high banks at 4 p.m. and then followed by the trucks at 5 p.m. with Gatorades 1 and 2 following at around 7 p.m. Eastern time. And that'll set the grid for the Daytona 500 on Sunday and get to see who's in the show and who's not going to make the show. There is 45 entries. So that does mean technically 5 wouldn't make it, but since there's this, I like to call it the Elio Castroneves rule, now this year the Jimmy Johnson rule, he makes it in no matter what because he's a world figure. I don't know the exact wording of this, but I guess it's a driver that is a champion in and beyond the NASCAR Cup Series would be, I guess, my definition of such rule. But either way, Jimmy Johnson, if he doesn't qualify on speed or by position in the duels, even worst case scenario, he destroys the car. He still makes the field because of such rule. So he'll definitely be racing in the 500, which I believe he came in third last year, which, I mean, for those betting people out there, you would have made a lot of money with Jimmy Johnson finishing that high up, I would say. Because he's not full-time anymore, and as a matter of fact, he's running a very limited schedule, including the 500 and notably the San Diego race later this year. And so with the 45 entries, again, that means four drivers are going home. There's a couple of one-off teams for sure. We can take a look. Chandler Smith with Front Row Motorsports. That'll be the third entry. Teammates include Todd Gilliland in the 34, along with Zane Smith in the 38. So that'll be a go or go homer car as well. Junior Motorsports is one and only entry with Justin Allgaier. He'll be in the number 40. So Junior and Chris Stapleton put the effort together, and they're going to try it again. And Justin Allgaier did really well last year. He finished in the top 10. So I would look for him to be a strong driver to have a good chance of making the show. Then there's NY Racing team. JJ Yaley in the number 44 Chevrolet will be one of the drivers looking to qualify for the race, along with Anthony Alfredo, Beard Motorsports, their entry. It's funny because a lot of times it's been Brendan Gaughan in that car, and Brendan Gaughan's successor seems to be Anthony Alfredo. So I hope, you know, they have at least a good showing. And then there's Casey Mears, who is inching closer to 500 Cup starts. I think once he gets to 500 Cup starts, he'll call it quits. But him and Garage 66 will be putting together an effort to qualify for the Daytona 500. And 2311s, I want to say their third car, right? Because Bubba, Tyler Reddick. Yeah, so that'll be the third entry, with Corey Heim being in the car, and he's been kind of having a few rides with 2311 just to, I guess, to get his feet wet in the Cup car. The reigning NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series champion, so he could do some good things. I mean, he dominated the Truck Series all season and was rightfully champion last season. And then another driver to look forward to, BJ McLeod, owner of Live Fast Motorsports with Matt Tift. That'll be an interesting one to watch. BJ McLeod loves the super speedways. And again, Jimmy Johnson, one of the drivers looking to, I guess, technically qualify, but as I mentioned earlier, either way he makes it. He'll be the third entry for Legacy Motor Club, along with John Hunter Nemechek in the 42 and Eric Jones in the 43, who has been very good in super speedway racing. So I would actually keep a very close tab on Eric Jones to have a pretty good result, I would say. A strong candidate to finish well in the 500, let alone the duels. And I would, some would argue he was robbed of a victory last year in his dual race. I completely agree. But that's just how it goes sometimes in NASCAR, unfortunately. But he could do some great things. And let's see here. And then Corey LaJoy in the fourth RFK Racing entry. And RFK has some momentum on their side. The most recent winner being Ryan Preece winning the Clash, in which was I'm going to go on a rant, but I'll bite my tongue mostly on this. That was a ridiculous waste of time watching the Clash, and I'm even saying that as a NASCAR fan. Average speed was just over 20 miles an hour, and it took two and a half hours to finish, just taking a guess, when it really should only be an hour long of an event. Just like, oh, great prologue, we're back, NASCAR's back, but it turned into a whole freaking thing. So I really don't understand that. I think I'm just okay. LA Coliseum ran its course. I'd even kind of put it to where Bowman Gray has even ran its course. I mean, we got wet weather, which I guess that's a little bit of exciting. Sure, we got to break out the wet tire, but really, was it really all worth it? I really don't think so. I think it's a matter of time before we go back to the high banks and actually have a Clash at Daytona. You're there. I mean, just make it a week. Make it a week. Go back to what it was. Saturday night, have the Clash. Last Sunday, we should have qualifying. We should already know who's on the pole and on the front row. But here we are.
Just to chime in, I'm still here, but Nate's obviously just running course on this episode.
It's my favorite race of the whole year.
This is his deal. So you get a nice little Nate ASMR ASMR episode out of him. So this is your NASCAR episode, Nate. Just run wild and free.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Did you watch the Clash,
Nate?
Silly question, I know.
Yeah, let's be real with
you. Do you know if Sean watched it? Probably not.
I would be willing to bet he watched the highlights.
Well, you know, and SVG was leading for a while. I was just gonna say, if there is going to be a way of SVG winning an oval, it would be a wet race, right? But, it was a bit ridiculous, and I was watching it live. I just couldn't believe how it was caution after caution. But I mean, Ryan Blaney looked strong. William Byron looked strong. And Ryan Preece is a short track guy, so I'm not surprised he was leading or in the fight for the win. Yeah. So it really did not surprise me he won, but I think.
I did watch, like, 2 minutes of practice, because it was I scrolled past something and I was like, oh, it's on right now, so I could just pulled it up, looked in, and I was like, yep, it's about as boring as I thought it was. And then also I'm like, yeah, there's snow there. I'm like, what's the temperature like? It's gonna warm up a little bit. Well, we'll see how this goes.
Right.
And then I tuned out. I didn't watch any of the rest of it, but that was pretty much the summary of what I read on it. But obviously, you watched it, so you're given the breakdown.
Right. I mean, before the race, I was actually going to pick Ryan Blaney to win it all. He, you know, and he was moving his way through the field, and even in the wet weather, he looked strong. So I was thinking, okay, maybe this is Ryan Blaney's, you know, time to win the Clash. But I mean, Sean can back me up here. Just have the guys that won the pole. Just have the guys that have won this race in the past. That's it. You don't need to make anything else of it. You don't need to have the extra heats or anything. It's a special race. It's not the all-star race, but it's guys that have accomplished something in years past or last year. And then let's move ahead. So we got the duels Thursday. As I mentioned, duel one will be at 7 p.m. Eastern. And it's looking like, I guess depending on how and when the race finishes, it could be clean and green, it could be a wreckfest, we don't know, or in between. And it's looking like that race, the duel two, will begin at around 9:15 Eastern time, so 8:45. And I'll tell you what, I'm actually quite excited for this race coming up on Friday. The truck race. There is a lot of people, notable people, that are going to be in this race. Christian, do you have a favorite? I'm sure you've seen a little bit of the entry list.
In the truck race, the only thing I know is Tony Stewart's going to be in. So he's my pick, but I also don't know if he's going to be able to pull it out of the bag because it's trucks and anything, and it's also Daytona, so anything goes.
Right, and he's been out of it, but
I also don't know if this headline was supposed to be bigger than what I like. Just kind of poo pooed on it, but like I'm excited for it, but like I also know me, and I'm probably not gonna watch any of these races. I mean, I'm gonna tune in like I do always for the Daytona 500, which is if I'm around and the start is on when I'm like not doing anything and I remember that it starts, like I'll put it on, watch the first five laps. Otherwise, if not, like I will probably get some kind of notification that like, hey, the race is about to end, and I will tune in for the last five laps because it's gonna be a big one, like always is.
Oh yeah. Well, so I think you got that one.
It always comes down to just the last five laps because it's, yeah. Actually, you know what? As I say this, I am going through trying to update my my green white checkered overtime spreadsheet that I keep track of all this stuff because I know I say all of this of like, oh, it just comes down to, you know, the last couple laps, it's cautions every single time, and like some races it is, but other times it's not. And for the last 2 years, last year it came down to a green white checker in overtime, and in 2024 there was a restart with five to go.
Right.
So I mean, based on the last two, I'm batting 1,000 right now that all I got to do is just watch the last five. But who knows? Maybe it'll be different. And as far as like the season long aspect of it goes, I mean, there's 36 races, so just over a third of the races in 2024 had either a green-white checkered or restarted within five to go or even 10 to go. 'Cause there was a streak right at the end of the quote-unquote regular season where they went four races in a row, and six of the last nine that they had green-white checkers. Last year, it was less, but it was about... quick math. It wasn't quite a third. It was more about a quarter of the races. That had these late race restarts, so
right.
Yeah.
Well,
it was definitely significantly less. But I should add that two of these 10 races did have a weather delay, so it's kind of I'll put an asterisk and give those ones the benefit of the doubt because like there was a big big time wait there, and the weird thing about that was it was two weather delays in back to back weeks too. So moving on,
man,
getting back to this week.
Well, and I'm scrolling through the entry list, and NASCAR.com did a funny thing here. I was kind of looking at the different ages. I mean, it's a wide range of ages. I mean, as young as 20 years old, Taylor Gray, I can't believe I didn't even mention this. Massachusetts' own Giovanni Ruggiero. I believe I'm saying it right. If I botched the name, forgive me. But 19 years old doing that. And I was looking to see who the oldest driver in the field would be. Norm Benning, I know is up there. He's 74 years old, but NASCAR did a little bit of a glitch on their website. I guess they put Cletus McFarlane as 126 years old. I'd imagine that's an error, but if he's 126 years old, he does look pretty good for his age.
Yeah, that would be quite an achievement, and congrats to him if that's the truth. But
I mean, has figured out skincare. I mean, something like that. But notable drivers in the field: Michael McDowell, Daytona 500 winner. He'll be racing with Spire, his current Cup team. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. Another few drivers I'm going to kind of put like a little circle next to is Brendan Queen. He won the ARCA race last year and became the ARCA champion last year. So he's an ARCA graduate at its finest. He'll be racing with Colic Racing. And let's see. Speaking of Colic Racing, Tony Stewart will do a one-off race. From what it sounds like, maybe there's more in the future. He'll be with Colic Racing as well. Three-time Cup Series champion is doing that. Travis Pastrana is making a return to NASCAR. He'll be racing with Nice Motorsports, along with Ricky Stenhouse, who has won the Daytona 500 in 2023, I believe. And taking a look down, Carson Hocevar, another Cup regular, John Hunter Nemechek. Yeah, lots of notable drivers. And maybe keep an eye on Ben Rhodes, two-time NASCAR truck champion. Corey LaJoy is also making an entry. So there's a lot of notable names that could have some a really good night. Let's see. And even Jason White is making a return. He's been in the Cup Series, the Truck Series before. He's done full time, and it looks maybe a one off here. Let's move forward to Saturday. That being I almost said Xfinity Series. It has a new name. It is the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. But if you ask me, it's still the Busch Series. So let's take a look at what Saturday will be like. There's also the ARCA race that same day. So the ARCA race, I believe, will be at noon. Yep, be at noon on Fox. 200 miles there. And the Cup Series will have the third practice after, and then to kind of set the stage for the NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series opening event at Daytona. It'll be at 5 p.m. And let's take a look here. I'm sure there'll be some notable names. You can catch the race on the CW, it looks like, or their app. And that's usually an exciting race. Tony Stewart has won that race a lot. I mean, if you guess 10, probably not far off. He's won that race probably more than anybody.
Oh man, I'm still updating this sheet as you're rambling along, and it's so nice that I can get rid of the playoff rounds, and it's now just the chase. It's just...
That is a lot better.
That's nice. Just less breakdown and confusion.
And, you know, like, now it's no longer you win, you're in kind of deal.
But that was so simple, though, Nate. Like, if you won... Yes.
Okay.
I mean, how much simpler can you get in racing? Like, if you win, you're in. And then if you go to the playoffs, if you win, you're then in, right? But then when you, the only confusing part is when you is when none of them win, then what? Because now it's not simple anymore.
Now it's not.
Right.
Yeah. Now you're going to have a guy that wins 20 races and it actually makes sense now that he's champion.
What? No. I want the long shot. I want Joey Logano every single year to happen. That's the miracle on ice story, okay. Right?
Yeah, New England zone. That's your boy right there.
Oh, so I think it's your boy.
No. Hate to break it to you. But let's take a look. There's some familiar faces, some new faces in the O'Reilly Auto Parts series. A lot of Junior Motorsports is regulars. Quaffle Allgaier, who will be making another start in the Daytona 500, as mentioned, with Junior Motorsports in their number 40. He'll be racing in his regular ride, the Brandt number 7, along with Sammy Smith. And let's take a look here. Some notable drivers. I'd probably keep an eye on Harrison Burton, who is running with Sam Hunt Racing. He did win the July race, or I guess nowadays, August race at Daytona. The win you're in format at the time. So he was a playoff driver at one point. Carson Hocevar is actually probably, I think, the only driver doing all three races. He'll be very busy this week. So he's doing the triple. He'll be running in Young's Motorsports number 42 car. And then he's going to jump over to the Cup Series Inspire. Jeremy Clemens, he's pretty good at these super speedway races. Definitely have a small circle next to him. And Parker Retzlaff, the Wisconsin native, he'll be racing with Viking Motorsports. He's always up front towards the end of these super speedway races. So I would definitely keep an eye on him. And I guess a little funny meme with the O'Reilly Auto Parts series is going to be, does Sheldon Creed win this year?
I don't know.
Probably not. But anyway, moving on to the big day, Daytona 500. Now this is going to be good. I don't know. I call me biased, but I'm always excited for the Daytona 500.
You excited for the Daytona 500?
Couldn't breaking be. News.
Couldn't be.
Yeah, breaking news. I know. And okay, as the number one NASCAR fan, Christian, who do you think has the best odds to win the Daytona 500?
Are you saying I'm the number one NASCAR fan, or you're the number one NASCAR fan?
You're obviously the number one NASCAR fan.
Right, because you would be number two, right?
Theoretically.
My pick to click.
I do have the odds here, but I'll just. I feel like you have a pretty good idea.
I mean, I really don't. And I think this is the best thing about this race is that it's just a total toss-up. How many get into the show? Is it 43?
41, but normally be 40 if, like, Jimmy Johnson wasn't in it or Elio Castroneves. So 41 is the entry list.
Oh, my God. Let's... God, I'd probably be better just picking a name out of a hat right now. Let's go with the Toyota. It's going to be Chase Briscoe.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, that's a good pick. I was but I'll tell you what, his teammate Denny Hamlin has the best odds of winning at +900. But Chase Briscoe's not too far behind with +2000.
Okay.
Which
So I'm making money.
you
Well,
could,
I gotta get
you
on
know.
this. I'm gonna make money this weekend.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, if you want to make a pretty good buck, I would say, in terms of value, I would even really look at, putting your money at either Ricky Stenhouse, because he's somehow +3,500. Which, that's actually, to me, that's kind of shocking. Because he's already won the 500 and he's very good at super speed racing. So I think there's some value to be had there. Yeah, like he has the same odds as Daniel Suarez to win the 500. I don't understand that. But I think the best stories that would come out of it is there's three drivers, right? There's Kyle Larson, Brad Keselowski, and Kyle Busch. And what do they have in common? They do not have a Daytona 500. Those three drivers, personally, I mean, one could argue Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, overdue drivers that haven't won it. Yes, but I think a really good story would be Kyle Busch, right? Because he's been trying for 20 years, 21 years. Uh-oh, got a bit of a Dale Earnhardt story kind of brewing up here. Two-time Cup champion Kyle Busch, I think he's overdue. And let's take a look at around the field, because I think we have four. No, we have five, six Daytona 500 winners. Let's see, Austin Cindric, Austin Dillon. And Denny Hamlin, three. Logano, four. Stenhouse, five. And then I know we're going to come up to Michael McDowell, six. Oh, Jimmie Johnson, seven. So in the race, we'll have seven Daytona 500 winners. So there'll be a lot of chance for someone to maybe get there first, right? I'll tell you what, if Connor Zilich steals the Daytona 500, I mean, that's just, people are saying he's the next Jeff Gordon. Like, early success, right off the gate. So we'll see what happens. I mean, and Connor Zilich is someone that dominated the O'Reilly series last year, and just because of the championship format, just didn't pull, just didn't get the championship. So it'll be interesting to see how this Daytona 500 fans out. And I'll tell you what, Christian, Chase Briscoe, if he won the 500, that would be a fans win, because that's one of the few drivers that have gone into the Cup Series. I mean, seriously, with no money, he's a dirt guy. You know what I mean? So it would be really cool to see a driver like that win it all.
Yep.
And
Yep. Sure. Dude,
and
I'm
then
just riding with you, man. I got nothing.
well I you're good. I mean, this is my, news and notes, really. But you can catch the Daytona 500 on Fox or HBO Max. Race will be at, I want to say, 2:30. Let me confirm this. Yep, 2:30. Unfortunately, there's still stages. So the stages will be at lap 65, lap 130, and then lap 200. Granted, if there's no green white checkers, but I really don't want to jinx that. I want to see it get to 200, because one of my favorite Daytona 500 finishes in recent history was in 2017 when Kurt Busch won it with Stuart Haas. And Tony Gibson, I mean, from Daytona Beach, Florida, won it as a crew chief. That finish, getting to the finish line, it was like 40, 50 laps under green, and fuel was in question as it came down to it. Chase Elliott was in the 24 at the time, leading, runs out of gas, switches to, I guess he switched to the reserve tank and kept going. And then you had Martin Truex go up there, same thing, ran out. Kyle Larson led the white flag, same thing. Kurt Busch takes the lead, and that's all she wrote on that. I hope it's something like that for a finish in the Daytona 500. I want to see it under green. I don't want any green-white checkers. I really don't. I want to see an actual finish this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm really hopeful.
Not what?
Almost, I know, almost 10 years since we've seen something like that. I would like to see something like that. It would be nice. That's all I really have for the Daytona 500. I mean, check it out. It's my favorite race all year, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
and we have some news and notes a little bit after, right? Or is
I got some things. I think this week is mainly Daytona for stuff that's going on. I mean, just in short, IndyCar had its preseason road testing at Sebring. They had a 2-day test down in South Florida, and can't really draw too much from it, other than I think the only rumors were just who was driving the last Dale Coyne seat. And it seems like Grosjean's name is being thrown around, and I can't remember who the other one was going to be, but maybe Connor, or he might be out. I think my dad knows that storyline a bit better.
Yeah, he's been keeping close tabs on it.
Yeah. Anyways, as far as IndyCar goes, they got another. I don't think it's this week. I think it's next week. They are going out to Phoenix for, I believe this is phase two of the testing there. Because I know at the end of last year, they went out and I think this is either November or December. They did a tire test out there to try and get ready for this year's Phoenix race. So I think this is the second test of it, where they'll bring the tire that they plan on running, or you know, two or three tires, whatever it is. So that way it's more of like your candidate of what you'll see out there. After that, I missed Asian Le Mans Series this weekend, but I did see that there was quite a crash at Abu Dhabi.
Oh gosh, you saw that one too?
Yeah.
Was it the LMP2 car and the GT car? Just
yep. Just
in the place, wrong time.
Yeah, pretty much. P2 just tried to move in front of the GT car and just went right across his nose and into the barrier. So everyone was okay. Just
thank gosh. Brutal.
It visually looked horrible, but actually that's the best thing for a crash in today. With how everything's designed, you want the energy to disperse, so you want as much of the car to fly away from the survival cell, we'll call it, just to mitigate the energy as much as possible. Next week we can sort of back to the Asian Le Mans series if we have some time, but they've wrapped up their season. It's quick for those guys, but it's something nice in this off season to watch before everything else starts really kicking off in this month really, and next. Can continuing with sports car, there's rumors that Renault and Alpine might be done.
Like the team itself?
They might be leaving WEC, but again, it just was rumors last time I checked. I don't know if there's been an update to it. I'm seeing that there might be something of something addressing this, but again, don't. This is just rumors at this point. It looks like there was a change of leadership, so that's where the rumors are spilling out from. And this rumor is 26 will be Alpine's last year, and then in WC, and then they would be no more in 27. Anyways, we got a whole year for that to be decided.
Right.
And then the only thing I have in addition to the Daytona 500 for this week is that F1 testing in Bahrain begins today, but at the time of the recording, tomorrow, which I believe this one you can watch on F1 TV or Apple TV, however you need to view it for this year. So yeah, there's that. And then also the rally championship is at Sweden this week. So
nice. And speaking of Sweden, or I mixed up countries. Actually, I meant to say Switzerland. Kind of a little bit of a fun thing, mm-hmm. right? The Olympics are going on. I want to give a little shout out to Simona Di Silvestro, who is taking part of the Italian bobsled team.
That's right.
So, from IndyCar, right. From the Indy 500 to the Olympics.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I, you know, we'll see how she does. But either way, she's an Olympian, still badass, and still a badass IndyCar driver. And she's one of the few, you know, female drivers that's really tried all of them, you know, all the different series, right? Kind of like Catherine Lake, you know, she, Simona Di Silvestro did supercars for a while, which that's a very hard discipline of cars to get a handle on. So, she's always been one of my favorite drivers. And so it's really cool to see her, be an Olympian.
And, before I forget, there is one other race that's pretty big that's going on this weekend, which is the Bathurst 12 Hours. So,
great segue to touch.
Yeah, if you're like me and you don't want to watch any of the Daytona 500, you can watch Bathurst.
Oh,
so you can get your.
You got options.
Yeah, you definitely have options. And if you don't like any of this stuff, like I said, WRC is this weekend in Sweden. So like there's still plenty to watch this week.
Yep. So, see Daytona, Bathurst, IndyCar testing. Oh, and some Cadillac F1 car was revealed this weekend at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we still have time until F1 starts, and I don't think we've really touched on it other than just teams have revealed stuff. But like I do need to set aside some time and like watch some videos of what's on the cars, how they're all looking, and I know. Sam, I cannot remember his last name, who does the technical analysis for F1 TV and the F1 broadcasting production. He has a YouTube channel that he's put together and is going through all of the cars in detail, pretty much. I can't remember how long. I think they range from 5 minutes to 20 minutes kind of stuff of what he's looking at and going over with each of the cars, but he has them on his YouTube page. It's called Sam in the Pits, but he also has other cars in racing that he has videos on, and some of them are intriguing, like the old Acura LMP1 LMP2 car or prototypes, where he has a video on that, and then he has a couple other of like older sports cars as well, which are interesting. So that's a good time killer if you need something during the middle of the week.
Yeah. Very, very nice.
for you. All right. Well, I think on that note.
Good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.